Is it after 9 o'clock, do you think, Alan?
1 minute or 15 seconds.
Before 9?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah, just go 5, 4.
Maybe we're on the air right now.
After 9 now.
All right, well, we're going to get started here. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and thank you for joining us on Sweet Liberty. I'm with you tonight with Alan again, Alan Watt. And I want to remind you folks, if I shouldn't assume that all of you are listening Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings, but Darren Weeks does Sweet Liberty Mondays and Tuesdays, and it is certainly his broadcast, his information is perfectly documented, and he addresses topics that Alan and I don't often get to, and it certainly is worthwhile to tune in and listen, because you're going to learn a lot by doing that. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 7th of June. I almost said May, Alan.
Yeah.
It's the 7th of June in the year 2006, folks. Our spiritual message this evening, I'm pulling these little cards is what I do from my Course in Miracles quote little box. It says, there is no veil the love of God in us together cannot lift. The way to truth is open. There is no veil the love of God in us together cannot lift. The way to truth is open. It is too, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, sometimes you need a crowbar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're the crowbar.
That's it. Yeah, we're going to do a lot of huffing and puffing.
HR, what was that bill we wanted to mention?
I think it was 4752IH.
4752IH. Folks, I know that there are a lot of, I understand, a lot of other broadcasters talking about this, and we're not going to spend the evening on it, but I wanted to bring it up for those of you who might not listen to a lot of other broadcasts. This bill, H.R. 4752IH, I don't know what the IH stands for, Alan, but that's the way it was listed on the Thomas, on the government website. And folks, this is a bill that is proposing to draft all men and women in the United States between the ages of 18 and 42. Men and women between the ages of 18 and 42. And you know, Alan, the way the bill reads, I was going to print it out. It isn't a real long one, and share it with our listeners, but our internet listeners can go to the Thomas site and put that bill number in, and it'll pull it up. But it's... those who don't go directly into the military would be drafted to do some type of, quote, community service. And basically, we're just talking slave labor here, Alan.
Yeah, I think it's stated as or serve at home or other. In other words, it didn't specify what the
exactly,
other.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's wide open. And I just, the important thing here, folks, is those of you who have young children or teenage children, it doesn't matter. They should never sign up for the draft. They should never register for the draft. And when the card comes, it says that you have to do this. It's the law. And then if you read the frequently asked questions, well, what would happen if I didn't register for the draft? It says, Alan, you may be fined and you may go to jail for, you know, whatever. They can't jail you. And then they say you can never get a government grant.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the big deal. That is the hook.
Yeah.
And that's the only hook. And of course, there are many states, and it's happened some time ago, that have actually added the requirement, if a young person goes in to get a driver's license, they have to sign up for the draft. They're registering to get a driver's license is considered registration for the draft. And if they aren't willing to sign that, they don't get a driver's license. Now, this to me should have people stop and think, well, if it is a federal law, why do the states have to do this? And you see, to me, that's just more confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Selective Service Act is under Title 50, and Title 50 is not what they call positive law. There is no legislation that has... It's the same with Title 26, which is the... Or maybe Title 27 is the IRS, is that, you know, the income tax, but there's no implementing legislation for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they use Title 26 to implement the income tax.
Yep.
They use all the implementing legislation under alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Yeah. And what's even more ominous is the fact that they're going to, or they're even, they want to put this draft through, because it tells you that it's not just to do with Iraq.
Oh, absolutely.
You see, it's much bigger. And it's an ongoing thing that they're looking at, obviously, when they need so much human power there.
Yes.
To do their job, but which could last for who knows how long, donkey's years.
Well, you know, I had a call from Bob Peters just before we went on air, and he was listening to Al Adask, who's on First Amendment Radio just prior to this broadcast, and he said Al was talking about, you know, contractual law and et cetera, and I said that I wanted to mention this draft bill. He said, you know, that Al, he believed Al had been talking about it also, and what Al was mentioning, Alan, is that they're talking about sending prisoners over to Iraq.
Okay, well, that's quite... See, that's what they did in Britain for centuries. They would draft them from there, right from the prison. In fact, the courts at one time, even on petty offences, used to give you the choice of joining the army or going to jail. That was quite standard in Britain. So I guess it's the same system.
You know, I was thinking about that with all these illegal aliens. How many of them do you think have been drafted into the military, Alan?
That's open, in
yes.
fact. They've had that in the major newspapers. They've given them citizenship if they served so many years in the military.
Yes.
Yeah. And even in the Civil War, they had scouts out in Europe and Scandinavia to recruit people to come over and fight in the Civil War. So there's nothing really new in that.
No, nothing new in it, but it's new in our time right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although I have a book here. In fact, it was mentioned in Doug Reed's book, Controversy of Zion, and I was able to find the book, and now I cannot recall the name of the book, but I was able to get it through ABE Books, and it was a woman who wrote the book who had served in the United Nations after World War II, and she was in one of the internment camps, or the... they don't call them internment camps, but the relocation camps.
Yeah.
And mostly all that were in the camps where she was were Poles.
Uh-huh.
And she said that they some of them were actually killing themselves rather than go home, because the Soviet Union, of course, had control over a lot of their, you know, their living space, and they just wouldn't go home. They would hang themselves and cut their wrists and do anything.
Yeah.
But what they were trying to do is find homes for these people. And she couldn't figure out why, excuse me, girls quit it. She couldn't figure out why the U.S. wouldn't let any of these people in, because a lot of the countries were. They were taking healthy people that they knew would be able to get work and not become a ward of the state. And so there were some requirements, but many, many people were finding homes in other countries. Well, then the Korean War came, Alan, and suddenly the U.S. government opened up its arms to those Poles. And the requirement was, this is right in her book, they had to serve 2 years over in Korea, and then they could come to America.
Yeah.
So they were willing to risk their lives in a war to come to the land of plenty.
Yeah.
The land of the free and the home of the brave. So that is in our lifetime, in a sense. It's very recent
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
History. And we were having a conversation last night, and I said, I think we better quit this right now, because our listeners need to be in on this conversation. Mm-hmm. And would you share with them what we were discussing?
It was about the global warming, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, it was... The global warming is a weird... We're all part of this because it's said all the time. It's mentioned in so many articles as though it's a fact, you know. And we do know from even at school, when I was about 7, it was in the old geography books at the time, that the Earth goes through warming and cooling periods. And in the Middle Ages, for 200 years, at one point, they didn't build fireplaces inside the homes because it was so warm. So we go through these cycles. However, with the global warming, you would think the South Pole would be melting too. How come it's supposedly all to do with the North Pole melting? And then I thought about the Star Wars project. Everyone's forgotten about it. But they put, I don't know how many of these war-type satellites up into space, which can basically fry any continent if they want to. And when you look at what we're told, the pole's melting and it's all slipping into the sea. And since the prevailing wind across America and Canada, the U.S. and Canada, comes from the west, technically we should be cooling as this colder water, or the ice hits the water and cools the water.
Oh, shoot, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it should bring it across the land. And yet the land is warming at the same speed, if not more, which would tell me that something is basking the northern hemisphere, at least this part, and something which is causing the heat. The land as well as the sea, but it's not affecting the Antarctica.
Well, then we have the connection. When you had said at the one time, and folks, I don't, if you haven't seen Alan's videos at his website at cuttingthroughthematrix.com, it's linked from Sweet Liberty also, but if you haven't seen it, what is the name of that last one, the one about the clouds, Alan?
Oh, it's Peeping Through the Clouds.
Peeping Through the Clouds.
Yeah.
You sometimes when we would talk, and this has been going on for so long, and you'd say, oh my God, are they spraying again?
Mm-hmm.
And how mushy the sky looked.
Yeah.
And we do get sprayed, but nothing like mm-hmm. you were describing.
Yeah.
And then you said last year the high temperatures made probably, I don't know how high they broke the record,
mm-hmm.
but where you're at, to get up to 115 degrees in the summer mm-hmm. is an anomaly.
Certainly is.
And you had mentioned that you thought the possibility is that they're using the HAARP technology.
Yeah.
And that you're right in the path of it,
mm-hmm.
and that would be why you'd be having the warmer weather. And then when I was talking to a friend about it and all of the spraying, I couldn't figure out, Alan, why are they spraying out in the wilds up there?
Mm-hmm.
And he said probably that's why they're spraying so heavily, because
mm-hmm.
the barium, and, you know, you explained that those metals are actually light refractors and heat refractors of the sun.
Yeah.
And so now, I don't know, it just all makes sense to me.
Yeah, see, the only way, their theory that they're trying to spin it, we might be trying to save the planet. We get these little hints that they may be trying to do things about it. They're maybe going to start weather manipulation to stop global warming. This is in the newspapers.
Oh,
jeez. And they've been doing it for years. And the patents go back for donkey's years. Anybody wants to check up the different patents on all this stuff? But this theory of...
patents, you said, P-A-T-E-N-T-S?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this theory of reflecting the sunlight back out into space would only work if the particles somehow were weighted so that the shiny part's facing the sun. But it's not. You see, these things are spinning and tumbling, and they're mirrors, and they're reflecting the light back and forth millions of times before they hit the ground, and it's keeping the heat in. That's just it. It's doing the opposite. So they're causing the global warming.
Well, the thing is, we can't even count on what they're telling us, that there is global warming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the floods and the droughts and everything, and, mm-hmm. and even when it gets extremely, we had freezing weather on the 22nd of May,
uh-huh.
and frost on the 23rd of May. And that isn't warm, Alan. But they say, oh, well, it's all part of global warming. Well, and I know I've said this before. I am going to repeat myself, because I do know that we have quite a few new listeners since you've been on Coast to Coast. But Professor Patrick Michaels is a guy, a professor in Virginia, University of Virginia, I believe. I happened to hear him talk at an ALEC meeting, the Association, or the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a an association for allegedly conservative state legislators. And he was talking to the state legislators. He had overheads. He said, first of all, that not only is there not global warming, now this was 10 years ago, but he said not only is there not global warming, but the real temperatures are showing that the mean nighttime temperature is slightly higher. He said that makes for a very lush planet. But he said they take artificial readings, and they take those readings where you've got a lot of tarmac, like from the airports and
In the cities, yeah.
Yeah, it's artificial heat. And he said now with the satellites, they know what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, anyway, there wasn't any global warming going on. But one thing he pointed out, as cold as it is at the poles, they say, well, if the temperature drops 1 degree, we're going to have global warming and it's going to do all kinds of terrible things. He said if it's 45 degrees below zero and it goes up 1 degree, it's still at freezing.
Yeah.
And it just, none of what they're saying, in other words, it just doesn't,
it's
doesn't
high,
fly.
It's a high science program that's going on. And there's no doubt it's all to do with science, plus every effect they're talking about is they can cause by the heart in conjunction with the spraying. And that's the ominous part about it, that we see the spraying going on all the time.
Yeah.
And they admit in the HAARP treaty that they signed with the UN not to use it on other countries, they admitted they can cause drought or flood, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and they can also dissipate natural clouds or create them. They can do one or the other.
Droughts or floods.
Mm-hmm. So I've seen both happen. Sometimes the sky will turn black and you're sure you're going to get a thunderstorm. And then you hear the jets above them and within an hour it's all cleared up and it's this steely, misty, polymer-type blue. So they can do either. They can cause that or dissipate the clouds.
Yeah.
And also, it's in the treaty too, they can bring the jet stream right down to ground level.
Yeah.
Well, the jet stream loops right where I am and goes back down into the States. So that's why they're using this part to spray heavily. It carries it all the way back down into the States. It covers a wide area.
And the satellites?
Yeah.
I made a note here because when you mentioned, you know, the Star Wars, Jim McCanny, when he was on with us after Katrina... He said that they literally were steering the hurricane.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know, even the way the Weather Channel, the way the weather reporters, they're showing these hurricanes making turns.
I know,
which
hurricane angle turns.
Yes. And he said that they're doing it from the satellites, and he said basically what they're doing is beaming mm-hmm. the electromagnetic energy down
yeah.
right in front of the eye of the storm. And it attracts the eye of the storm,
yeah.
and they just lead it around, like you got a ring through a pig's nose.
Yeah, in fact, if you superheat the atmosphere in front of it, it attracts it just like a magnet.
Right, exactly. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make it go any doggone place they want.
Yeah.
And so this makes sense too. That you know, that technology is part of it all.
It is, and of course, they've tested out. Maybe 3 years ago, there was in the newspapers this odd series of meteorites that went across the sky from Canada into the States, and from Vancouver, I think, all the way down into Washington, and they said it set off fire alarms across the whole territory. Not fire alarms, car alarms.
Oh, my.
With the explosions. Then the next day, they had all these experts on trying to tell us what it was, what they thought it might be. And it was all very vague, except they thought it was probably some kind of strange meteor. And there was nothing more said about it. But it was a series of explosions in the air. And then in Australia, a week later, they had the same phenomenon happening over one of their major cities. Exactly a week later. And what they were doing, I think, is using the satellites to superheat the atmosphere, which explodes at that part that they're concentrating on. And that's what they really have been doing. Tesla himself stopped his test with the standing wave technology because he said it would be possible to superheat the atmosphere to such an extent you could cause a flash fire across the globe.
Yes, and he said he could split the Earth in two.
Yeah. So this is what they're up to. It's advanced sciences that are at play here. We're kept in the level one matrix where the news gives their supposed facts, but there's higher levels above all of that. And we never get told even the second level until 50 years later.
Sure.
Yeah, that's standard. Yeah. So it's high technology at work.
So how's your weather right now, speaking of the weather?
Well, there was a deluge a couple of hours ago, and it's stopped now, but it's coming down just like a monsoon.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that, you know, I noticed this several years ago when we had the summer sun. This would have been probably around 2000, 2001.
Uh-huh.
The sun was so extremely hot. And even if it was 80 degrees, it wasn't the heat in the air. It was the heat of the sun hitting you.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this, and then I would mention it to people, and a lot of people agreed, you know, that they had noticed the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was abnormally hot.
Yeah.
And how would they do that, Alan? Would that have to do with the spraying too?
Oh, I'm sure of it, yeah. I mean, I noticed when they're really spraying heavily, and there's different kinds of sprays, you'll see them. There's a long white ones that end up like sort of herringbone displays across the sky.
Yes.
And there's other types that are a sort of light pale blue. That's the polymer type. It's like looking through a plastic, clear plastic barrier, you know, vapor barrier type.
Uh-huh.
That's what it looks like in the sky. And these light blue ones spread very quickly and create the polymer type effect. So there's different kinds that they are spraying across, sometimes in conjunction with each other at the same time.
Something I wanted to say here just as a consideration for our listeners. I don't know who I was talking to the other day, and they said that it evidently, I don't know where the information came from, so I was just told this,
mm-hmm.
that 70% of the sunscreens today have chemicals in them that are known to be carcinogenic.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted for our listeners to maybe do a little bit of research on this. Be careful what you're putting on your skin, folks. When we're talking about summertime, and people believe that if they lather themselves up with sunscreen, they're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, the mosquito stuff with that DEET in it,
mm-hmm.
It's killer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so folks, don't think just because you're putting sunscreen on that you're necessarily protecting yourself from the sun, because the sunscreen itself could be very dangerous to. And we need sunshine. Isn't that the pathetic thing, Alan?
Yeah, we do.
We need to be in the sun. The sun is life-giving. And yet we just have to be careful and not overdo it, and be careful of what we're putting on our skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the largest organ in our body.
Well, with all the spraying that's going on, I think it's best to keep covered.
Yeah.
Because that stuff's all coming down. There'll be a link going up on my website, because Jason was telling me he's watched the Discovery Channel to do with weather modification. And they were talking about these tiny nano robots that they can put out of planes, billions of them. And they're so tiny, they can go into your eyes and you wouldn't even know they were there.
A nano robot.
Nanotechnology, yeah. These are tiny little, basically little computers in a sense.
Tex Mars wrote about that several years ago.
Oh, yeah, they've had them.
And they've been in movies.
Yeah, they've had them for donkey's years. It's just that the public have never really... We're the last to be told. When they tell us, it's actually almost obsolete. So...
And they actually had it on the Discovery Channel?
They had a program to do with weather modification, and that was part of it. They showed a test tube with so many of them inside this little test tube, and these were a bigger type. They said the other type are so tiny... And the question was asked apparently on the program. I didn't see it, but Jason's going to send it to me.
Is he going to link to it at the site?
Yeah, and someone asked what happens if you breathe them in, and I think the answer was, well, you might cough them back up. You may cough them back up. And I wouldn't be surprised if these things are so tiny they can pass through the alveoli, the little air sacs in the lungs, into the bloodstream. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
What do these little nanorobots do, Alan?
Well, I think on this particular program, they said there was some kind of transmitter. There's very little we can believe as far as the reasons that we're given go. We do know that other areas of science have admitted that these tiny nanorobots could be used even to reconstruct the inside of your body, because they can link up like a whole series into a circuit. And create more of themselves even from materials that they can find in their own body. So this is a very advanced stuff, and yet it's old technology.
It gets so far out that, you know what my thought is? Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes when you talk about these things, it gets people afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, being afraid would be useless. It would be as useless as worrying.
Uh-huh.
Because we would just be living in fear.
Yeah.
And I guess that comes back to where we are in our own minds with who we are. Are we a human being or are we a spiritual being? And, you know, is planet Earth it?
Yeah.
The third dimensional world here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be real frightening to people to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and yet that's what they've got. And what gets me, it tells you that if they can make these things which are pretty well atomic size, what kind of equipment did they put it together with? And how long have they had this for?
You want to know what Tex Mars wrote about when he wrote about these things?
Yeah.
He wrote about the new arenas they're building.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Alan,
mm-hmm.
You take a look at them, and it doesn't seem like a reach. Now, I'm not... To me, I mean, I don't, how am I saying this? How do I want to say it? I believe that Tex Mars has inside information. Let me put it that way.
Well, he was in that field in the military.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And he wrote a lot of stuff for the technological societies for years before he took his present job.
But basically, his present job, right, thank you for that. But basically... He said that those stadiums are large antennas, giant antennas.
Uh-huh.
And he talked in that article, in that particular newsletter, about the nanotechnology.
Mm-hmm.
And these little robots.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned them being receiver or transmitters,
mm-hmm.
They could be receivers, transmitters, receivers and transmitters, Alan.
Sure they can.
To where our own thoughts or every word could be being sent someplace. We have to take a break here. And folks, we'll be back with you in about 3 minutes. And stay with us.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Before we get started back here with Alan, folks, every time I hear that commercial for the DVD on the Civil War, I think about it. It was a war to enslave us all. And I haven't seen the DVD, and I don't know if Nicholas is listening right now, but I thought about asking him to send me a copy so that I could recommend it to you. I can't recommend something I haven't seen, but any of you who haven't done research and may not know the true actuality of the Civil War, it had nothing to do with, you know, freeing the slaves, and they certainly did with the 14th Amendment. They created, actually, in a sense, a constitution within the Constitution. I never really understood that until when I owned my business, Alan, and we had those human rights cases starting hitting us. I said at one time I wanted to have a trial jury, and they said, well, you can't. I said, what do you mean I can't? Is it this America? Isn't it, aren't we? Well, yes, but this is under the 14th Amendment. The Human Rights Commission is a 14th Amendment, a bureaucracy, and you can't have a trial. And every case that I had to defend against, all of the briefs were based on the 14th Amendment. So I just wanted to say that. And I wanted also, in case you might be listening on satellite, they give their number very fast. I want to give you the number once again if you wanted to reach them by phone at First Amendment Radio. The number is 559-781-3773. I appreciate, Alan, the fact that we were not able for a long time to pay for our broadcasting, and Nicholas continued to carry Sweet Liberty without payment, and so I hope that our listeners do support First Amendment Radio, because it's the least we can do to say thank you for keeping the broadcast on the air. Okay.
Getting back to that arena thing you mentioned.
Yeah.
Back in the mid-90s, that's the first time we heard of all these emergency plans and agencies that are interlinked with each other from local to federal level, and they were having practices even in Canada and in rural areas for these emergencies, and we're saying, what's going on here? This is before 9/11. And the Cold War was supposedly over, and all that kind of stuff. And now they start all these things. They didn't have them even during the Cold War.
This was, when did you say?
Mid-90s.
Okay.
And, I remember going into a little town called Allison, and there's all the fire guys there and the police there, and people pretending that they were injured, and they were giving them first aid. And it was a mock disaster.
Yeah, mock disaster.
And I thought, well, something's coming. You know, they all knew something was coming. And then, of course, the media went into action and said that they showed you these emergency command centers where they're all interlinked with right down to the local level. And I thought, it took them years to plan all this and get this thing up and running with bureaucracy, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So what's planned? Well, we know 9/11 came along and it all made sense.
Yes,
but isn't it interesting that during the 90s... But at the same time, that's when we first heard that sports arenas would be used for people who were moved from their disaster
areas.
Oh,
my, and look what happened in New Orleans.
That's right.
I found an article. Well, I subscribe to USA Today and New York Times, the Toronto Star, and the Washington Post online. And I run down and take a look at their, you know, the headlines of the articles.
Yeah.
And this, I found this interesting. It's a little off our course here, but mentioning Katrina, there was an article in USA Today that said after Katrina that there is a higher white population and a much lower black. And I thought, the first thought that came to my mind in was they were doing a little ethnic cleansing, huh?
Yeah.
Because the white population, I think, increased by like 20-some percent. From 59 to 70 something,
yeah.
And the black population decreased at least as much. So we got a 40% difference going on there,
yeah.
And 90,000, they said, of those people are still living in Houston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
sure, they kill a lot of birds with one stone. These guys.
Oh, with everything they do,
yeah.
Like with the war between the states.
Mm-hmm.
The more you realize how much they accomplished with that, they're multi-layered, aren't they, Alan?
Oh, absolutely. As I say, we are still in the level one here.
Yeah.
With the 6 o'clock news version, and there's so much going on, it boggles the mind. Even on top of all of these big cell phone towers, we have these arrays of antenna. Look at like old-fashioned antennas you'd have for your television on a roof. Only there's maybe three or four of them in different directions. And that's the same pattern I noticed with the HARP installation up in Alaska. So I think they'll have a grid across the country with this technology.
Some mini HARP things going on?
Yeah, right on the top of every one of these towers you'll see.
Okay, that brings to mind, and I don't know if you mentioned this on the air, something on the news there, and I think they did a few minutes on it, where they actually had cameras that could photograph the energy coming off all of these antennas and that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you talk about that?
That's right. It was on the CBC.
Will you tell our listeners about it? Because I think it was one of our off-air conversations.
Yeah, it was a doctor in Toronto. There's different doctors now formed a little association to do with this new the new symptoms that are coming out with the microwave technology that's being used. There's multiple often had to move out of the city to get away from all these little antennas that put all over the big buildings and every street and back alley. And
it's for the cell phones, isn't it, Alan?
For cell phones, that's one.
Allegedly.
And eventually it will track your ID card wherever you go.
Yes.
But she had a meter there which could gauge the strength of the signals. And she says, you know, wherever you go here that's off the scale, you're being pulsed with a high energy. And this is a real energy here that's going right through us. And then they showed you how it would look where she was standing if you could actually see the infrared. And the infrared doesn't come out in a circle from the source. It actually comes out and it's like spiky, very spiky.
Oh, wow.
And they interviewed some of the people who'd been affected by it and had different symptoms, from lethargy to various other problems with different organs in their body. So people are being affected by this pulsation of energy all around them.
You mean diseases of their organs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And some people, as always, with everything, will be more susceptible than others. But I think ultimately, if you're exposed to enough of it, it
has sure.
Effects anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It maybe hits some people or shows up
mm-hmm.
in some people sooner, but it, just because somebody isn't feeling
yeah.
the effects doesn't mean it isn't going on there.
Yeah, and these are tremendous energies that are unleashed here, and we're walking through fields of them all the time.
Yes.
And it will take its toll, and I don't believe at all that they're just finding out now what the effects would be, because we're so far behind in this level of reality that they know this stuff long, long ago, how it would affect people.
Yeah.
So, but it will eventually track the car. That's why they're putting them up all over the high-rise buildings everywhere. Yeah.
Well, they have those cars with the, what do they call, Telstar or something?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can tell you where you are any minute.
That's right.
Any second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you come to a traffic jam, this is why people think they're so cool. You come to a traffic jam, they'll tell you where to go to get around it.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And you know this, Alan, that the fact is that so much of the technology that's out there today could be being used for so much good.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that thing that I read when you were talking to Effie? One of the things you said there, and I think it was so important that we heard that and take it in and keep it in, is the fact that we, with the power that is within us, the source of power as spiritual beings, that it wouldn't take all that many people, but it could actually be willed to be a different way.
It would have to be willed and actually, used in life.
Oh, yes.
Because that's the whole thing.
Well, that's the whole point. If you will it to be a different way,
mm-hmm.
that would be what it would be,
yeah.
that it would be being used for good purposes.
But I really have to think that humanity has a double nature, and that's something that people... We can easily point the finger at the monsters we see at the top.
Yeah.
And sure enough, in this system, the psychopaths get to the top because it's a psychopathic system. Only those kind of people want to claw their way up. Joe Average doesn't want that kind of power over people. However, Joe Average still has the ability to do good or evil, you might say.
Yes.
And that's what people have to confront in their lives. We can't complain about the people at the top if we are just the same on a smaller scale.
Exactly, Alan.
At the bottom. And so all technologies, all technologies we know come from the military-industrial complex. That's why they're first devised and they push ahead with things. And it shouldn't surprise you.
What is the military-industrial complex?
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe
it's a,
that?
It's a combination of... combinations, literally, it's international companies that have been there since prior to World War II. Some of them have been there for 100 years, and they have tremendous power. And Carl Quigley said in the Anglo-American establishment, he did say that the future world will be run by a new feudal system ruled over by international corporations.
International corporations.
And that's what we're seeing.
Remember the Rollerball movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it Rollerball?
That was one of them.
They were corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those athletes played for a corporation.
And everybody worked for the corporation.
Yes.
And then there was another older movie. It was called, about the same time maybe, it was Network. And that was an excellent portrayal of perceptions that people have that are given to them by the media. And it's all to do with perceptional changes and how they can alter reality by altering the perceptions. Very much like we have with George Orwell, where, war is peace and freedom is slavery.
Yes.
And that's what we have today. We see soldiers going off like soldiers have always gone off with grenades and guns, and they call them peacekeepers.
Yes.
It's the same thing. You change the term and your outlook on what's happening is altered. So this is an old technique, but it's perfected today through mass marketing techniques and repetition.
Sometimes, you said this a long time ago. I think it was when we were talking a lot after September 11th. And you said the hardest thing is going to be for people who are aware to be able to maintain their sanity.
Yeah. As we go through the changes, we're already going through them. The 6 o'clock news would have you believe that one man in a cave somewhere, a caveman, that's the big joke, high masonry, a caveman is going to make you all take ID and be monitored across the planet, everybody.
Whoa. What do you mean, a caveman?
Well, Ben Laden in the cave.
Oh, Ben Laden.
And you see, in all the mystery religions, you have someone in a cave.
The boogeyman.
Jesus was the grotto, the cave,
Uh-huh.
And Muhammad heard God in the cave. You always find this in the high mystery religions.
Oh, my.
And Ben Laden's in a cave, you see. His name actually means, man of light or face of light, like Illuminati. And so he's in a cave lighting up the cave. It's high Masonic jokes, really. All of this theater is high Masonic jokes. And we get it over and over again. However, we're supposed to believe that one man caused all of this to happen, and yet it took years of preparation and with bureaucrats to even outline all this stuff long before 9/11 came along. So this is nothing to do with Ben Laden. This is the new American century. This is the purpose of the United States of America.
This is not important, but it's a question that just popped in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is the correct pronunciation of his name Ben Laden?
It's Ben Laden or Laden. It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
And even the old battery was called the Laden jar.
The what?
The pre-car batteries. They call them Laden jars. That's what a battery was called at one time. So these are all, everything that's given to us has many meanings when it comes from the top. And even Maggie Thatcher, 1990 or 1991, at Massey Hall in Toronto. Gave a talk called about the New World Order. That was the title of it in the Toronto Sun. And she said the next war will be fought with radical fundamentalism. And she mentioned the Middle East.
Radical fundamentalism.
Yeah. So.
Well, they are radical fundamentalists in the Middle East?
Anybody trying to hold on to their heritage is going to be called radical.
Because I know,
the
but...
New World Order...
Okay, but yeah. is that what she was saying, that those Arabs there, all the people who live there, besides the Israelis, that they're radical fundamentalists?
Pretty well. See, what they admitted to is that Britain and the U.S. had created these the extremist groups.
The extremists, yes.
To fight supposedly during the Cold War against the Russians.
Yeah.
And supposedly they wouldn't stop afterwards because they become so powerful and mighty.
And uh-huh.
That was the excuse they were giving back in 1990 or so.
And then we have the Christian fundamentalists,
mm-hmm.
radicals.
Oh, yeah.
And according to that BBC broadcast, there are 40 million of them. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. Folks, on Sweet Liberty, if you go into the Israel section, there is a BBC broadcast that you can listen to, and I did transcribe it because some parts of it, I was just concerned that people wouldn't be able to get it all. If you want to see an example of what Alan is talking about, give a listen to that broadcast. It's titled A Lobby to Reckon With is the name of the broadcast, and it's there in the Israel section at sweetliberty.org. So fundamentalism, there's Christian fundamentalism and what is the Muslim fundamentalism, and those are the ones that are skewed, that their belief system is so skewed that it is that radical.
In other words, if they believe in it implicitly, as it's written, that's called fundamentalism.
Okay.
If you're sort of wishy-washy or you're a nominal type, you're born into it, you don't really follow it, that's okay. You know?
Okay.
But if you believe this kind of stuff, then you're classified as fundamental and radical. In fact, it's been well written about even in educational systems. In many of their literature, they've talked about people being technically insane, you know, if they follow religion.
Alan, it's basically
a new world order.
Yeah, you would have to be, because of the inconsistencies.
Well, mythology isn't supposed to be consistent.
I see.
And, of course, they've wrapped up so much within their religions, rewritten many times, and always for political reasons, from the top.
Yes.
For the top, to make people well-behaved. But that system is over now that they're taking down the borders worldwide for the global society, so they can't have that anymore. It served them well when they had to have the borders to keep the elite in power and wealthy and so on. But now, under a global system, you've got to have... The state will be the boss. That'll be your god, really.
Mm-hmm.
The world state.
And people who, for example, the protesters,
mm-hmm.
and that we got the Protestant religions, we got everything but Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
In Will Durant's series, he mentions this. Mel called me one night, and he had gotten to reading that about during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Luther, Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Of course, he was the big one that started the whole thing. And we talked about this on the air. It dawned on me finally that Martin Luther was part of the controlled opposition.
Yeah.
It was when I read the book, Babylon Mystery Religion,
mm-hmm.
and when the sleeping giant begins to awaken, they send somebody out there. Well, mm-hmm. Will Durant actually confirms that, because although Martin Luther led the charge, he was the one telling the government that they ought to arrest and kill these people,
mm-hmm.
that were protesting.
Yeah, he did not believe in the ordinary person at all. He thought they were the beasts, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, he said that.
He was an elite then, in other words.
Oh, yeah, he totally hated the mob, as he called it, the people, yeah, the common people. They had to get away. See, the old feudal system was served well under Catholicism.
Yes.
But to get the new industrial era up and going, they needed a new work ethic, which was blended with the religion. So that's why they gave Protestantism to get that going. And that was the whole thing. It was to do with a new work ethic for a new type of era.
What is your What are your thoughts about Saul?
Saul.
Paul. Saint Paul. Paul. Saint Paul.
Well, there's no doubt he's, or if it was a person, we don't even know. But,
right.
But
the story of it.
There's no doubt that one person that we're supposed to believe really gave to us a worldwide Christianity and set all the rules and stuff, and got communists on the go with different laws and beliefs. In other words, he standardized a belief system, standardization. There were so many sects of Christianity at that time, it was staggering to see how many were existing even in his day.
You know what Will Durant said in his book, The Caesar and Christ?
Yeah.
Remember, I've talked about Bishop Arius?
Yeah.
Well, he was the one they excommunicated.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going along with the dogma and the doctrine that the church was coming up with.
Yeah.
Or Constantine at that first Council of Nicaea.
Mm-hmm.
And he was anathematized. You can't find any information on him at all.
Mm-hmm.
But Will Durant talks about him. Basically, from what I've read, not just Will Durant, but another book I have, he was teaching that Jesus was the Son of God, as all of us are, of our Creator,
yeah.
And that he was not, quote, God, but created, as all of us were. Well, that wasn't going to work,
no.
And they weren't going to have that at all, so they excommunicated him. And when they brought him back and said,
under a truce,
yeah, come on,
them, yeah.
Come on back, and we're going to reinstate you in the church.
Yeah.
And that same day, he died out in public, a terrible death of poison.
That's right.
So you know, people. But let me finish this, because this is where I was going with this thought. He said that a lot of those bishops at that first council. Because Constantine wined and dined them to consensus, Alan.
It was a political...
It was.
Yeah.
It was the 20th anniversary of the 20th year of his reign.
And it was also to do with the Roman Empire. It was an empire.
Yes.
That was going to continue.
So he said in his books, that in his one of his books there, that many of those bishops had rescinded their vote. When they voted what was going to be the dogma and the doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, by 600 B.C., if a church was not of the Arius teachings, it was nearly empty.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads you to see that back then, people were a little bit more aware, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they weren't falling for it the same way.
Yeah, and he knew what Rome was all about, because Rome had already run the world, a good part of the world for a long time,
mm-hmm.
pre-Christian. So it was a political movement. They were well aware of it. See, it was to standardize everything again. We're seeing it today. That's what the U.S. is doing. They're standardizing the world into one culture.
Yes.
By force.
We are organisms,
mm-hmm.
and the world is their petri dish,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and they are culturing us.
Right. They give us our culture. And
they give us our culture.
They grow it, and we did, well, actually, they download it into us. And
exactly. Yes,
so
and then, yes.
Nothing changes, you see.
And we're out of our hour.
Uh-huh.
And I wish we weren't, because this just keeps opening thoughts.
Yeah.
Our conversations do this. Folks, Alan and I will be back with you next Wednesday night. And remember to tune in Monday and Tuesday at the same time for Darren Leach on Sweet Liberty. And Alan's website is cuttingthroughthematrix.com, sweetliberty.org, and you can get from each other's place, because we're linked on both places.
FirstAmendmentRadio.com has made available a very low-cost satellite system special just for First Amendment Radio listeners. In conjunction with Rick Satellite, you can now receive a complete system, including receiver, LNB, and small satellite dish, all for only $169 delivered to your door. Go to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage and click on the satellite system link to order the First Amendment Radio satellite system from Rick Satellite. Or, if you don't do